I think there's a lot of people in sales who, believe it or not, struggle with being an introvert, which it's something we don't talk a lot about in sales because, I mean, just the sense that you're opening yourself up to just like an endless barrage of ball breaking when people find out, wow, how could you be shy and be in sales? How could you be an introvert and be in sales? And yet we struggle with things like networking events and having to strike up a conversation. And, you know, either we avoid the networking events or we go to them and we just have this feeling like we're sick to our stomach. So today, I've got lots of ideas that I'm going to share with you, kind of an introvert's playbook for networking. And the best part of it is that it's being shared by someone who struggled with shyness. His entire life, I've been an introvert, and I'm going to tell you what I do. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we get down to business, I have a really cool freebie for you. So if you've been enjoying these podcasts, or perhaps this is your first time here and you never want to miss a beat, you want to continue to get these podcasts because I produce about, I'm guessing about 2 to 3 of these a month, but also I've been doing them since 2010, almost 8 years now, and I have over 300 audio sales lessons for you that are absolutely free. There's no little catch or strings attached. So if you'd like access to those and you'd like to make sure that you continue to get alerts whenever we have a new episode for you, just go to yoursalesplaybook.com/app. yoursalesplaybook.com/app. Having said that, I want to get down to business with you guys and talk about this idea of what do you do if you tend to be a bit shy, maybe you get like your nerves bother you a little bit with networking events. And I'm going to tell you, just to put you at ease, that was me for the longest period of time. My whole life, I've been more of what they call an ambivert, by the way, which is displaying characteristics of both an introvert and an extrovert. And the way it works for me, and I just want to kind of give you an explanation in case you fall into this category, is that I can turn on the extrovert light bulb when I need to. Like, for example, when I'm doing a speech, when I'm training people, when I'm going into my meetings, when I'm, you know, in a sales situation or whatever. But at the end of the day, I would much rather be doing things where I'm not in crowds of people and having to introduce myself to strangers and make small talk and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's nothing I'm ashamed of, and I don't want you to be ashamed of it. But it, I have to tell you, for the longest time, I struggled with networking because I really, it would force me into this level of discomfort that I really feel other people were sensing and responding in kind. And that might be happening to you too. So what do we do, right? Like, so what are some ideas? So let's start with like a few little like mental things that might help you. So I want to tell you a very quick story. When I started in sales, and I was only at it a few years at that point, I came to this part of my life where I had a lot of major changes in my personal life in a short period of time. So just a quick explanation, within a year, I was engaged. My father passed away. I inherited our family business and I got married. I mean, how's that for a lot of change? So I went to one of my mentors, which was a friend of my dad's, and who had a lot of success in his own business. And I was just, you know, asking for some guidance of really what I should do. And he was saying, you know, Paul, being that you want to move the business in a new direction, which I did, by the way. We were manufacturers reps. We were selling to the graphic arts community. And in order for me to really understand our clients, what I did as a side job on my father's recommendation was I became a pressman, because I really wanted to understand the people that I was selling to and understand their process and the end users and all that. But I always loved it, and I had this dream of eventually opening up a printing company. So when my father passed away, I decided I really didn't want to continue the business the way we had built it, and I wanted to go in a new direction. But now that's all well and good. But many times, as you guys know, when you go in a new direction, you have to do new things, and you can't rely on the things that always worked for you in the past that made you comfortable. So this mentor of mine said, Paul, you know, you've built a mature business. You've done very, very well bringing in business for your dad. You're going to have to start cold calling again, and not really cold calling people that like already know you and already like where you have your family's reputation. You've got to start from scratch. And the thought of that, again, being introverted, really made me uncomfortable. And I just didn't really like cold calling at that point. I did it well. I just did not like it at all. And he said something to me that I want you to kind of rip off, because it really resonated with me, and I hope it resonates with you. He said, but really the way that you introduce a new behavior is by, you know, first of all, taking some baby steps. Yeah, you could go in and just totally immerse yourself in it. A lot of people can't run a marathon that way. They just kind of burn out very, very early. It's a radical shift in behavior for them. And the new behaviors, they don't stick, because we go back to the old comfort zone. So he said, I want you to kind of do this gradually. But this was the cool thing he said. Because you are doing something that you really don't want to do, here's what I want you to do, Paul. I want you to give yourself a month. Now, you're not going to stop at the end of a month. And you're going to figure out some kind of an activity level, whether it be, and in the beginning, we decided it was going to be more on the activities than the results, right? Because I'm not going to just like come away from what I was doing and just set the world on fire being like the world's best cold caller. So what he said was, you know, what you want to do is reward yourself for the activity. So you need to decide on how often you're going to do the cold calling, how many calls you're going to make, and yes, there's some appointment milestones you want to hit in there too. But at the end of the month, reward yourself with something that excites you. And, you know, he knew I was a newlywed. I didn't have a ton of money at that point. And he was like, you know, why don't you do something that can involve you and your wife? Like, you're going to go out for a really nice dinner or a night on the town. So what I did back then, my wife and I had met in high school, by the way, and we always had this little thing that we talked about, is that one day we were going to go into New York City, take a limousine, and just like have a night on the town there, a nice dinner, a show, and everything else. So I said to myself, you know what? It's a little expensive, but, you know, I'm sitting on some wedding money that I just got, and, you know, I had a few bucks from the business that I inherited, and I said, you know, it's not going to break the bank. But this would really excite me. So I use that as the thing to drive me the first month. The first month of a new behavior, as many of you know right now with the new year, is just so important, because you're going to want to go back to the old behavior a million times. But if you're there and you're saying to yourself, hey, listen, I just got 3 more weeks, 2 more weeks, 1 more week or whatever, and I get the first little like reward level, I think it's like a nice little push. So that's one of the first things that I would recommend that you do. Just have some kind of a reward that you're going to give yourself. And just, again, with the baby steps, you might say to yourself, you know what, this first month of me trying this, I'm going to go to one networking event. Or maybe you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to go to one networking event, and I'm also going to kind of work my networking muscles for the next month. Every time I go to a kid's basketball game, or I go to an event, or maybe there's people in the company I don't know yet, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to strike up a conversation. Now, here's a little cheat for you that's going to work really, really well to start building up those muscles. Remember, we're talking baby steps right now. We're not talking about like lighting the world on fire overnight. We want to just talk baby steps, build some confidence. So one of the things that I always recommend to my coaching clients is that if you're a little bit on the shy side and you want to start building up those muscles that you could use when it's time, like it's go time and you go to like a real live networking event, what you can do is start with the people. You ready for this? Who really have to be nice to you. Really, that absolutely can't get shitty with you for you attempting to have a conversation with them. So what do I mean? Well, maybe you go to a restaurant and you're waiting there or whatever, and you know, if they're not real, real busy, maybe you're striking up a conversation with the host or the host, and maybe, you know, before you're having your dinner, you're waiting for your table, strike up a conversation with the bartender or whatever. Other things too, where people kind of have to be nice to you. There you are, I mean, out here in New York, going to get like my egg sandwich in the morning, right? Because we're big on like egg sandwiches out here. And I never knew that you guys in other parts of the country and other parts of the world, you guys don't do that. I mean, damn, like what the hell? But anyway, so maybe strike up a conversation with that person, you know, behind the counter or whatever it is. But start with people. It could also, one other thing too, before I forget, it could be if you're in a buying mode, people that you buy from. So it could be, for example, like a business owner listening to this podcast right now, people who buy from you, strike up a conversation with them. They're not going to tell you to piss off, you know, as you're handing them a check, right? So it's a good place to start working the muscles. Now, there's more to this. The next thing that you want to do is we want to understand something, that nervousness and shyness can go hand in hand. So there are a few things that you might want to do before going to a networking event or a situation where you're going to have to be working those muscle groups. You want to get your nerves a little more relaxed. So I want you to go out and get like shit-faced drunk. No, I'm kidding. But did I get any of you right there? Because like, I'm wondering if like anybody's like jaw dropped, like sales managers like listening to this with their team. They're like, oh my God, I didn't know he said that word, and he's saying we should get drunk. Now, what you could do instead, which is more HR friendly, is listen to some comedy before you go to some kind of an event. And one of the things I always suggest to my coaching clients, mostly in the context of cold calling, because nervousness can show its ugly face there too, right? What I always recommend to my coaching clients is that they create a playlist on their phone of just some of the funniest things that get them laughing, right? And just like put that on there and listen to it, because it's very hard to be nervous when like you just pissed your pants, right? And you're just in this great mood and you're laughing. You're going to find that that's one of the things that's going to put you at ease, and it's going to put a smile on your face. Have that be the last thing that you do, like as you're pulling up to that networking event. Like listen to it like the comedy on like the entire way over to this networking event. So that's one of the things you can do. The other thing that you can do, and some of these ideas I'm giving you for nervousness play into obviously cold calling and things like that as well. The other thing that you can do is you can hold, and I'm going to explain how you do this in a minute, so I just want you to hear me out. I want you to hold a ceramic cup of warm water before an event. And I'm going to tell you the reason for that, and then I'm going to tell you how to do that, because it's like, yes, and I just always carry a ceramic cup with me, right? So the reason why you do this is because the warmth of the water and you know, the mug kind of, you know, conveying that travels your nervous system and has a really awesome calming effect on you. And it works like a charm. It's actually one of the things that I used to do when I was trying to get over my nerves way, way back when I was starting to get into public speaking. So that was one of the things I did. So there are some things that you can do to help you with that. You could put it in a thermos and have like a ceramic cup in the car and just kind of, you know, fill that up before you go in and hold it and just note the difference. And the other thing that you could do is, you know, Starbucks is really, really big on this whole, you know, like protecting the environment thing and everything else. So what they do is you can buy a mug from them and they'll, or like, you know, like one of those like travel mugs or whatever, but you can feel the heat. You could buy it from them and you get your refills at a cheaper price because you don't have the packaging and the paper and all that kind of stuff, right? So that's something you could do. Or you can go to Starbucks ahead of time, get yourself a decaf coffee, right? So you don't get your nerves like on overdrive. And you could have them put it in a ceramic cup and just sit down and relax and kind of like, you know, get your head together before you go. So that's another thing that you can do. Make a note to do that when you're cold calling too. It'll really come in handy. The next thing that you can do is, and this next tip, I just want to tell you that you have to do it cautiously. So this one is going to come with a disclaimer. Consider going to the networking event with someone else that you know. Now, I want to be very, very, very clear about this one. Many times, this other person that you're bringing with you can become your safety net and you just never meet new people. To me, that defeats the purpose. So here's what I want you to do. Consider bringing somebody else with you to a networking event and have it understood that we're gonna be together just really for the first, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the networking event, and then kind of pair off, you know, just like go our own ways. But here's what you can do, and this marries into the next tip. If nerves bother you, and if you tend to be more of an introvert, one of the coolest things I learned to do at networking events is to get there before anybody else does. And this is something you could do on your own, but it works very well if you bring someone with you. Like if it bothers you standing there by yourself. In the beginning, by the way, it bothered me standing there by myself. Now I've come like a really long way and like I'll just like go there by myself, right? And start off that way. So now what happens is when you're the first one there, the crowd forms around you instead of you having to go to the crowd. That's part of what bothers you and what makes you uneasy being an introvert, approaching these people. So we want to remove some of that and have them go to you. So again, get there early. If you want, bring a friend with you. But the understanding is this. Once we start getting a little bit of a crowd around us, we're just going to kind of branch off and create new groups. Now, another thing that you can do that's really cool, when you get there before other people and then the crowd starts forming around you, now you can start shifting your focus and becoming like taking on the role of host or hostess. So almost like you're not going to try to deceive anybody here, but almost like you own the joint. You know what I mean? Like it's your event. And just like act that way and understand that most people, even extroverts, when they first get there, I don't know anybody and all this, they're kind of going through their own internal struggle. So if you could make it easier for them, you're not going to be thinking about your struggle. You're going to be thinking about making them comfortable, which is another nice little trick for your nerves, by the way. Taking the focus off of you and having time to really think about everything that's making you uneasy about this and taking on the role of host or hostess. Here is another thing, and this one I learned the hard way. You want to make sure, and you're going to want to say duh to this one, but I really want you to hear me out. You want to make sure that you're approachable. You really want to make sure that you're approachable. So when I worked for Dale Carnegie years and years ago, and it was probably, I went through this about 13 years ago, I was right around that time, I was like, I really want to up my game with my networking. And so I was starting to network more. And every time I would go to a networking event, there would be at least one to two people that would come over to me. Now, you might be saying, hey, that's pretty cool for an introvert. Well, wait till I tell you what they would say to me. And I'm being really honest and very real with you right now. People would come over and they would say, I'm sorry, are you okay? You know, and I would go, yeah. They go, you know, something bothering you? And like the joke that I always say, and I've said it on this podcast, what I wanted to say to them, well, nothing was bothering me, but like, shit, now something's bothering me. You just came over here and said basically like, you know, I'm in a shitty mood. You know, like, like what do I do with that? So being that my wife and I have been together like forever, man, high school sweethearts, we've known each other since I met her when I was 17 years old. And, you know, I went right to her, like, after this happened a few times. And I said, you know, like, she asked, hey, how was the networking event? And I said, well, I got to tell you, I mean, it was okay, but, like, people keep asking me this really, like, effed up question. And she's like, well, what's the question? I'm like, they're asking me if I'm in a good mood. And she goes, yeah, I could see that. And I'm like, well, apparently she's in on the secret. And I go, what? She goes, you don't know that about yourself? And I go, what do you mean? She goes, you really are an intimidating person from a visual standpoint. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you always have this look on your face like you're pissed off, like you're going to take somebody's head off, like you're ready to, like, you know, beat the hell out of somebody for, like, messing with you at a networking event. She goes, you never smile. She goes, you didn't know that about yourself? And I'm like, no, I honest to God did not know that about myself. And she's like, well, you know, why don't you just, like, try, like, smiling for a change? And here's the worst part, folks. I wasn't pissed off. I wasn't ready to take somebody's head off. I was, you know, really, really happy because, you know, I at that point in my life, one of my dreams, by the way, we all have these goals and dreams and everything else. One of the things I never talk about on this podcast, one of my dreams from, like, when I was a lot younger was to work for Dale Carnegie one day. And ever since I read the first book I ever read on sales, by the way, and I still have it, and it was one that was my dad's book, and he had this book. I have the original printed version of this book from 1948, by the way, and the name of the book, and I was so surprised to hear that it's actually still a really popular book in the insurance circles because it's really it stood the test of time. And the name of the book, by the way, is called How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling, or something like that, by Frank Betcher. And he spells that name kind of differently. I just need to tell you in case you want to Google it. He spells it. Hopefully, I don't have to spell Frank for you, but and spell it and like spell it wrong. The K is silent anyway. But anyway, no. The last name is B-E-T-T-G-E-R. Betcher. B-E-T-T-G-E-R, which is a little different than you might think. But he spoke so highly of Mr. Carnegie that I immediately, as my second book, read How to Win Friends and Influence People. And ever since I read that book, way, way, way back when your Uncle Paul here had hair, I was like, I would love to work for that organization. But guess what? Fast forward, here I am working for that organization. So I was just really, really happy, making money, doing what I wanted to do with my life. You know, everything was clicking. The universe finally was smiling and saying, okay, Uncle Paul, it's your night, bro, right? Instead of, like, all the stars align and giving me the finger, like it was like giving me, like, for years. So I was in a great mood, but people just wouldn't approach me. And if they did, it was for the wrong reasons. And then I started realizing that if I'm not approachable and I have a little bit of anxiety approaching other people, I'm going to be standing there like, you know, like some like ugly duckling at like a dance years ago, just sitting there like a wallflower and everybody's like, you know, being asked to dance. And your Uncle Paul here is sitting there saying nobody loves me. So I decided to change it, and I decided to smile more and not go around like give and meet somebody like when they drink too much, they're like, they're smiling like a jackass. I don't mean like that kind of thing, right? In fact, I probably have done that when I've had too much to drink, right? And you guys have done it too. Come on, we're in sales, damn it. But anyway, what I started doing was smiling more. And it was funny because people were approaching me left and right. And many of them said a very similar thing to me. They said, it looked like you were having such a good time over here. We just had to come over and join you, which I thought was awesome, right? So that could be a very big thing for you. But there's a little hidden thing about smiling that a lot of people don't know. And if you aren't driving in your car, I want you to jot this down because it's going to help you with nervousness. So whether it be cold calling or you are doing a presentation, public speaking, certainly if you go to a networking event, smiling helps with nervousness, by the way. It really, really does, because it takes more effort to smile when you're nervous. You're now focusing off of being nervous and smiling. And then, of course, the benefit is you're going to be more approachable. So now the next thing that you want to do, if you tend to be more of an introvert, is you want to structure the conversation so that they're carrying the conversation. Now, I want you to think about that. I'm going to say it again. I want you to structure the conversation so that they're carrying the conversation. See, because that's part of what's giving you a lot of anxiety. Like, what the hell do I say? Right? So if you go and you start hitting them with some really good questions and they're meaningful and you thought them out and it's not taking on the vibe of like an interrogation, then you're going to find that that's going to take a lot of pressure off you. And here's the best part. I mean, and this also goes back to that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. There's a famous story about Dale Carnegie, by the way. And back in his day, just so you guys know, he was like the first Tony Robbins. He was like the first Tony Robbins. And I had, when I worked for Dale Carnegie, I had just such a great opportunity to work with his granddaughter. And I was like, and she would tell me all these really cool stories and stuff that people didn't know about him and everything else. And what she was saying, we were talking about this famous story that's in How to Win Friends and Influence People. And the story goes that he went to this party, and of all the people that he could be seated next to, he was like seated next to like a botanist or some shit like that. It was like, of all, and no offense to anybody who's into botany, but I could tell you right now, like, that would not be my favorite person to sit next to. That and somebody who wants to talk about like the IRS and taxes and shit. I just, like, to me, it's just, yeah, how about that botany? Yeah. I mean, I would not know what to do. So what he did was, he didn't know what to talk about. So what he did was he just asked them questions with a genuine interest and got them talking. And then the story goes that the next day he gets a call from the lady or the guy, whoever it was, who hosted this dinner party and said, hey, you know, Jane Jones said that you were by far the most brilliant conversationalist she has ever, ever met. And he wrote in the book, it's funny because I hardly spoke a word. And really, that's the trick. If you want to be regarded as a brilliant conversationalist, even if you're an extrovert, by the way, I think especially if you're an extrovert, because you probably talk more than you should, then what you want to do is get them talking and telling their story. So just like, I just want to go back to something I said before. So when I talked to Dale Carnegie's granddaughter and we were talking about the story, she said, you know, one thing to add a little bit of context to that story, because he was like the Tony Robbins of that time. He hung out with some real badasses, man, of the time. Like, he hung out with people like Clark Gable, presidents, you know, people in like with political power. Like, he really knew a lot of people. And at that party, there were some real kick-ass people there, and he was a stud, man. He, you know, he could have easily have talked about all these awesome things he was doing and had the whole room listening to him, and he would own the night. But instead, he chose to focus on the other person, and they thought he was a brilliant conversationalist. So I think that could serve you very, very well if you tend to be more of an introvert. So let me give you some ideas on how you might want to like ask questions and give you some ideas to kind of get the conversation going. Before I do, I want you to think about something. When you go to a networking event, again, I don't care if you're introverted, you're extroverted, or you're an ambivert. I really don't care. You're still going to be dealing with a certain dynamic. Here's the dynamic. When you go to a networking event, I think everybody's so damn focused on getting their story out that it becomes a struggle to get a word in edgewise. You're almost competing, and sometimes there's the one-uppery and everything else. So if you do something that it's going to be a bit counterintuitive, and you just say to yourself, you know, I'm tapping out on that. I'm not going to even try to get my story in at this point. I'm going to focus on them. First of all, if you're an introvert, your life's going to be easier because they're carrying the conversation. Secondly, they're going to think you're a brilliant conversationalist. But most people that I've met have something that experts call manners. And like, did you ever find yourself maybe going on a little bit too much? And then you're like, oh, forgive me. I'm so sorry. You know, enough about me. What about you, Paul Castain? You know, tell me about you. See, that at that point, they've exhausted their story. They're ready to hear your story. And I think I would rather tell a story when somebody is ready to hear mine. And if they don't get to it that day, that's okay, because I'm building muscles that are going to be very, very important. So let's talk about these questions. What are some of the topics that we can talk about? So your assignment that I want you to be thinking about as we go along here is to create a series of questions to get the conversation started. I want you to visualize something. Have you ever had to jumpstart your car or have car service come and jumpstart your car? Well, once, you know, like to jumpstart the car, right? To put the cables on the car to get it going. Well, once it gets going, they're not going to keep the cables on the car and have you drive off, right? That might get real messy real fast. They take the cables off. So what we want to do is kind of get that conversation engine going. And once we get it going, we can veer away from some of these questions that I'm going to give you right now. So what are some things that you could talk about? Well, how about, I mean, forgive me if this is like a typical thing, but obviously what they do. How about things about their company? You could talk a little bit about their background. And I want you to think in terms of business and personal. Kind of like categorize your questions in two different areas there, because, you know, you're not networking here with like some kind of like alien or like talking to a brick wall here. You're talking to a human being. So you want to make sure that you're also showing a genuine interest in them as a person as well. So you want the two categories, business and personal. So you've got their background, where they're from, even things like travel. And as you like start to think of these categories, think about like different ways of asking the questions. So one of the things I'll ask people when I'll network, after we've been talking a little while or whatever, is I'll say, hey, do you travel much with your job? And if they say yeah, then I'll say, what was the coolest place they've ever sent you to? And we'll start the conversation then around that, and that could be kind of fun or whatever. Also too, find out what they like to do when they aren't conquering the world at, like, you know, the ABC company. So if I meet Janice and she works for the ABC company, I might say, Janice, you know, what do you like to do when, like, you're not conquering the world here? That's a nice way of finding out about hobbies and things like that. Also, here's something else that you can do. And this is a good skill for sales in general. This isn't just a networking thing. This is something that you should be working on when you have people on the phone, when you're doing a presentation, when you meet with your clients, things like that. And what you want to do when people answer a question is you want to utilize continuation questions. You want to utilize continuation questions. A continuation question is a question that encourages the person answering the question to continue or expand upon their answer. So a continuation question is basically a question that keeps it going, right? So that we're not just like asking a question and then checking a box and going to the next one. That's not how you have a conversation. See, that is an interrogation when you do that kind of shit. So instead, you want to ask continuation questions. So let me give you some examples of continuation questions. So you ask someone a question, they answer. Well, you might say things like, well, how so? Tell me more. Could you expand on that? You could ask them for an example. If they say something to you, well, you know, one, you know, we're really in our industry right now, it's some, you know, some challenging times or whatever it is. You know, could you give me an example, right? Or maybe an example of something they do or whatever. Another really cool continuation technique, again, in any type of context, is the use of silence. Now, I'm particularly talking to the introverts right now, and I'm going to tell you why. Silence, which is something you're probably a little better at than an extrovert, right? So this is kind of working with the way you're wired. Silence after somebody answers a question usually will prompt a nervous need to fill that silence. You don't want to be the one filling that silence. And that's something you should pay attention to. You're nervous, you're out of your element, you're an introvert. So what happens is then we fill it with kind of nervous talk. So a way to build your confidence is to have a little bit of silence after somebody answers. And 9 out of 10 times, you're going to see the other person filling it with something. Now, in a real sales scenario, when you're like doing your needs analysis, you can get many times your best answers with silence because of that nervous need to fill it. But there is a word of warning. If you use silence too often and you wait too long, people are going to pat you on the head and think like you're an idiot. I mean, seriously, it's like, you know, is something, you know, not computing here, Rain Man? I mean, like, you're staring at me again after. So you have to be very careful of like how you do it and how often you do it or whatever, but it can really, really work well. Another thing you can do as a form of a continuation question, there is a technique called a mirror question. Technique is called a mirror question. And what you do with a mirror question is you repeat back part of their answer that they've given you, and you phrase it like a question. I don't know if there's any Seinfeld fans that are still left in this world, but there was an episode of Seinfeld, I don't know if you guys remember, the Uptalker. And an uptalker says everything like it's a question, or, you know, a little later on today, I'm going to be having dinner with my family. See how I'm making it sound like a question? So with a mirror question, let's say I go back to the Janice example, and I'm talking with Janice, and I say to Janice, you know, what are, you know, some of the things that you guys are working on right now? And she just kind of gives me, because she doesn't know me that well, kind of gives me a very short and sweet answer. And she says, well, we're working on some sales training initiatives. So I could simply say to her, sales training initiatives? And then hopefully she will then continue or expand. But just like the silence thing, you gotta be very, very careful with using mirror questions too often, because people are going to figure it out and they're going to realize what you're doing, and they're going to become more distracted that you're using the technique, you know, at an overkill level, and they're going to become irritated. Like, for example, I don't really know if the show is even on anymore, because I really don't watch a heck of a lot of like live television. I'll watch Netflix and do a lot of reading and stuff, which is why I have a pretty boring ass life. But having said that, there was this show, Dateline, and I think they all went to like the same shitty trainer that had them all asking mirror questions, but like never told them, hey, easy on the mirror questions, man. It's like, yeah, use them sparingly. It's like you're kind of wearing it out. And pardon me, they would ask these questions to people, and they try to get people to kind of like break down and cry and like, you know, like open up and everything. And, you know, they'd ask a question, you know, well, you know, what was it like, you know, for you growing up? Well, you know, it was rough, you know, it was rough. Yeah, man, you know, my father passed away before I got married. Your father passed away before you got married? Now, if you pull that shit on me, I'd be like, is there a parrot in here? Is there, like, what the hell, man? It's like, don't you go pulling that monkey-style kung fu on me. So use it, but like anything else in sales, when you're using a tactic or a technique, you never want, like, you really want to kind of cloak your movements a little better. So, but it still is something that should be done. So that's one of the things that you can do. But again, finally, the best thing that you can do with trying to get better at something that makes you uncomfortable is not do what everybody else tells you to do. What they're going to tell you to do is jump in and go at it full force. I don't think that that like is a really good recipe for the vast majority of people who are trying to remove a behavior and introduce a new one, because it's just too hard not to go back to the old behavior. If you're doing something that makes you sick to your stomach at a much higher level than you ever done it, the average person is not going to want to continue doing that. And what you're going to find that happens, and it might be happening to you right now, being that we're in about the third week of a new year and you promise yourself you're going to lose the weight or quit smoking or do more of something or less of another thing, is then what happens is you start embracing procrastination. Specifically, you start embracing avoidance types of activities. So let me give you an example. Let's just say cold calling makes you really, really uncomfortable, and you're following the advice of somebody. Say, well, you know, the way you do it, you know, one of these like Wolf of Wall Street type of assholes tells you, well, the way to do it is that, you know, you should be, you know, make 300 calls a day, and you should be doing it day and night and everything. And you start to do that a little bit, and it's making you more uncomfortable because it takes a minimum of 30 days to install a new type of habit or behavior. It's not going to happen inside of a few days or a few weeks or whatever. So imagine for 30 days having to do 300 cold calls a day where you're like really immersing yourself in this. So then avoidance activities start to creep in where you're like, yeah, but I got to go and like talk to those clients, right? I got that fire to put. I got to do those TPS reports, man. I got to go out in the plant and talk with people and stuff, man. I can't do any of the stinking cold calling. So you never do it. You start clinging to things that are safer. And I really believe that's what happens with networking. So what I think you should do, kind of going back to how we started, is think baby steps. Don't think, I mean, if you're the type that the only way that you can do it is just jumping in both feet and going at it 24/7, God bless, go do it, and then shoot me an email, tell me how the hell to do it, because that's never worked for me. What works for me is thinking this like a marathon and saying, okay, here's what I'm going to do. If you look at all the months prior to listening to this podcast, maybe like you did exactly like in total, like no networking events. So maybe a good goal would be, over the next 30 days, I am going to go and like dip my toe in the water, and I'm going to do one. But in addition to that, I'm going to do what Paul was mentioning, and I'm going to start to work on my conversation muscles with people. As I meet people, I'm going to start with safe people, that people like I'm giving my money to, that are not going to like tell me to like go away. And I'm going to start with them and start with baby steps. I'm not going to try to have a real deep 30, you know, minute conversation with them. I'm going to start with some small talk and some chit chat and start working on those things. Maybe when I get in an elevator or whatever, or you set a goal that every single day, I'm going to try to start a conversation with like somebody I don't know, or maybe somebody in another department, or someone that you always say hi to at work, but you've never stopped. And as Larry David would call it, do a stop and chat. Right? Maybe you could do a stop and chat with one person that you kind of know, but you kind of like on like a head nod basis or like a hey type of basis, or maybe a grunt right type of basis. You want to kind of move it away from the to like something a little more meaningful. So that's what I would recommend that you do. Listen now, if you'd like a really good blueprint for a conversation, I have a really cool technique that I teach people for remembering how to start a conversation with anyone. And it could be in a networking type of context. It could be, you know, you're at an event, or it could be a trade show. You want to have conversations with people. There's a really cool framework that I teach. It is a real fun way of remembering all the questions. And I promise you, you're not going to forget it, because it's a very different approach. And I give you actual questions that you could be asking. What I want you to do is come join us this week for the webinar we're going to be doing. And it's called How to Rock Your Online and Your Offline Network. And we're going to be talking about everything from how do you get a conversation going when you're an introvert. We're going to talk about, you know, what do you do after the event, right? What can you do after an event to like keep this from being like a business card that goes in like the desk drawer and you do nothing with it? What do you do after you connect with someone on LinkedIn? And I'm going to give you a communication plan. How cool is that? I'm not only going to tell you like what to talk, like teach you what to talk about to get a conversation going. I'm going to give you a communication plan of all the steps that you should take after a networking event or after you connect on LinkedIn, and I'm going to give you 10 email templates as well. So it's like the work is done for you, and you just got to plug it into a plan that works for you. And I'm going to be talking about all kinds of other cool things too, but if you'd like to learn more, would you please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/networking. yoursalesplaybook.com/networking. You need to do it soon, folks, because we're going to be doing this webinar on the 25th of January. Right now, it is the 21st. Can I make a suggestion to you? I don't know if this resonated with you today, but one of the things I said is that things that make us uncomfortable, we tend to avoid, right? I mean, doesn't make me a rocket scientist. I mean, we all know that, duh, Castain. But you might know in your heart that you've got to get better at networking and building your network and the LinkedIn stuff and the offline stuff. And the mention of it, right then and there, you found yourself just, oh, yeah, I'm busy, whatever. Well, I can make it easier for you. If you are busy, if you're really busy, and that's not a bullshit excuse that you're kind of like, I don't know, giving me or giving yourself, really. Understand, I record every one of my webinars. So if you can't make it, I'm going to send you the replay. In fact, I always send it out like an hour, within an hour of when we finish the actual webinar. So you're going to have it on Thursday. You can view it anytime you want. And I'm still going to send you the 10 templates. But here's the thing. If you have any questions, being that we're not going to be on a webinar together at that point, you're going to be viewing a replay, you can always send me an email. In fact, at the beginning and the end of all my webinars, I always give my email address so that, and I encourage the questions. I want you to make me earn my money and reach out to me, and I'll help you any way that I can. But understand that the person who's going to be teaching you and the person that's going to be rooting for you and in your corner is a person just like you who struggled with meeting new people and going to networking events and striking up a conversation and even like feeling like a little out of place. So if that appeals to you, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/networking. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.